Jesus Christ, you people suck.
Wow.
Marine on a tangent.
Back in the days when we played video games, it was hard for boys and nerdy and lazy. Now things have changed, and all our video games are also for the casual landlady.
But that's okay, you know the score. We told you a million times before, playing consoles, not just games, is in the past. And every week you listen to the best damn internet radio crew. It's the N4G Podcast. It's the N4G Podcast.
It's Monday morning. It's time for another N4G Radio Podcast for the week of September 29th, 2008.
I thought it was N4G Podcast Radio.
Well, this week it's N4G Radio Podcast, because the actual name of the show, and this is a misconception around the world,
gotcha,
is that it's called N4G Radio. And then we say podcast to tell what it is, as if you didn't know because you downloaded it in the first place.
In truth.
Indeed.
And that, besides that,
a little silly.
This is the best part about Monday.
Indeed. This will get you through your work week. But
yes,
as you can hear, we have Jason, Gamascon Gambrell, in the hizzle.
Hello, hello.
With a fresh new haircut.
Yes.
Yes.
He looks straight out
tight.
The core. Straight out the core.
He does.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting it shorter, but then I'd be like, I'd
bald.
Look like.
You would look like The Apprentice.
I would look like every other video game character that's been coming out for the past 3 years.
Bald Space Marine.
Yeah, the Bald Space Marine. Oh!
And also with us, we have the Wombat. Ryan Womboat.
What's up?
They can't hear that.
I know. They can't hear me headbanging.
With the devil symbol.
Yes. What's up?
And Mr. Killer Wolverine, Justin Testa.
Hey.
Hey. Hello.
Hello.
Well, we have a good show for you this week. We got lots of games to talk about, except for Wombo.
Yeah, who has one game to talk about.
Who has one game to talk about.
And it's a game you talked about already last week.
And we have some news, and then I believe this week we're going to tackle the giant John McEnroe question. And there's
nice.
Like 40 questions in it, so that should be interesting. So
we'll
get started.
That's a humongous question.
We'll get started high and fancy, and we'll see if we can't streamline fondling again.
Yeah. It shouldn't
week,
be
though,
too hard this week.
We'll start with
because I didn't play anything.
We'll start with the Wombat because he has the least amount to talk about.
So I played The Force Unleashed.
Awesome.
And finally beat it.
There you go.
There you go. There's my fondling for the week.
Yes.
Golf clap.
Golf clap. No, I still am of the opinion that Force Unleashed is awesome. It's got some problems, but I still find it very, very, very fun. I should have a review up for it.
This week. Indeed.
Your grandma likes Force Unleashed.
Nice.
So there.
Nice.
I'm
going to blow the internet world apart right now.
What's that?
Force Unleashed is in my top 10 games of the year.
Really?
Right. Period.
Wow.
Yeah. How could you say that when the best of the year hasn't even come out yet?
I said to this point, did I not?
I didn't hear you.
I put a disclaimer on it. Maybe I didn't say that, but that's
you know,
what I meant.
You know, to this point in the year... To this point in the year, I'd say that that's probably correct.
I imagine, as much as there's good stuff coming out, I imagine it still won't make it into my top 10 because it's been a long time since I had that much fun playing a game. It really,
it's very
but it,
fun.
It, you know, it comes from me being a giant Star
well,
Wars
I'm a giant Star Wars geek, too, so
I
that
have
helps.
No doubt that you have a lot of fun, but it is really mediocre.
I don't think so.
So is Gears of War 2.
Oh, look at that.
Dun. How was that? All right, yeah, let's put those two to the same.
We will, because that's the way the internet works.
I don't think it's mediocre.
I think it's mediocre.
I think your mom's mediocre.
It's probably true. She probably is.
You watch the trees explode in the first level. And
I didn't say it. You know, the little subtleties in it is pretty cool, but the game is just meh.
Awesome.
It's always fun to have one person off the kilter.
Yeah.
I didn't say I didn't enjoy
actually,
it.
In terms of overall, we're probably off the kilter because it seems like more people share his opinion than ours.
Yeah.
This is true. This is true.
And I can see what you guys are coming from, but then I can see more where the other guys are coming from.
Right.
I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. I enjoy blowing people away, electrocuting them, and all that shit, but I'm just...
I think that's the key.
That's the key right there is that you're not a big Star Wars fan.
Well, I think you have to be a big Star Wars fan to enjoy the game to its fullest.
Yeah.
Granted.
Because otherwise, you're right. It's just a hack and slash with some force powers.
Yeah,
but
kind of generic unless you like lightsabers a whole lot.
Right. So, but that was all I played this week.
What are you playing this week?
Next week.
Mega Man 9.
Yeah.
And boom. Some more Mercenaries so I can beat that. And hopefully I'll get either Brothers in Arms or Battle March. We'll see which one of those I end up playing. But other than that, it's just... Oh, and I'm hoping to get a beta code for Little Big Planet
Little
on
Big
Monday.
Planet.
Fingers crossed. Hopefully I'll open up my email box and there will be a beta code.
I'm hoping Killzone beta codes go out for the U.S. this week, and I'm hoping to get one.
Yeah, that'd be nice, too.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, other than that, that's pretty much it until the big guns in the middle of October.
Yes, with the calm before the storm.
Indeed.
October is a bitch.
Indeed.
I'm going to make October my bitch.
Yeah.
That's
we'll
right.
move on to the con.
On to the con.
What's up? How's it going?
We already established that.
Yeah,
we're talking
yeah.
games
yeah,
now.
Okay, okay. Let me see here. I finally picked up Star Wars The Force Unleashed. And I think it's really, really, really good. Not great, but really, really, really freaking good. Like 8.5 good.
On our scale, that's great, but you don't know because you don't review games.
Oh!
Oh, that's awesome.
But, Force Unleashed, I'm about halfway through it. About the halfway point.
Let me tell you about the ending.
Okay.
How many people just turned their speakers off?
I know, they're like, no!
No!
Don't lie.
But, I think the game is really good. It's actually a better game than what I was actually expecting. Especially considering a couple months ago, I was thinking that The Force Unleashed was going to be just a tech demo. Like I had said in previous podcasts, you know, I was like, oh, the videos just look like you're in a giant hangar bay, you know, just killing and throwing waves and waves and waves of stormtroopers coming at you.
You know what? Even if it had been that, I'd probably had fun with it.
But the game has a lot more offer than that. It's got a little bit of RPG elements. So, you know, you can upgrade your force powers. You level up as you advance through the game. You can collect hidden items, which is cool. And there's platforming elements in the game, which are hit and miss, but I think it's awesome that they attempted
right.
to make it an action platformer. It works sometimes, and other times it just pisses me off because I'll make a jump and
you think it's spot on, and then you end up missing.
Yeah, either over jump or under jump.
That's because the camera has ADD.
I was about to say the camera is the main culprit there.
Yeah, the camera's not that good. It's not terrible, but
the camera's
not
built for platforming. It's
right.
That's really the long and the short of it.
Exactly.
Which makes the platforming section a pain in the ass.
And the jumping mechanics, it's like when you actually jump, it's like a normal type of jump, you know, for a Jedi, you know, you could jump pretty high. But it seems like at the height of the jump, all of a sudden you got magnetic boots.
And it comes down real fast?
Yeah, you drop really quick. It's like I'll see a platform because there's a certain jump where you could double jump in the game, which is I love double jumping in any game.
And you can air slide in the game after
can
the double
slide
jump.
Slide too.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a mid air dash
or pipe slide.
And what I do was I'd be like, "Oh, I see a platform over there." So theoretically, if I double jump and then in the middle of my second jump, do an air dash. Theoretically, I could make it
right
over there based on my speed and velocity of my jump, right? Wrong.
Wrong.
I'll do a double jump, do a dash, make it all the way to the edge of the next platform that I'm supposed to
and
make
miss.
It to. And right at the end of the dash, I drop straight down.
Right.
The velocity doesn't continue
right.
in my jump. So that pisses me off.
Yeah, there were a couple. I got frustrated trying to get some of the holocrons because it seemed like the jumps were a little like you had to be absolutely perfectly spot on to make some of the jumps.
Yeah, it
which
is.
I
use jumping mostly to travel from point A to point B.
Right.
The platforming elements are kind of garbage.
So. But I do like that they attempted to put a little bit of platforming.
Right.
I like this game better than what I imagined this game to be a couple months ago.
Yeah.
As being basically Dynasty Warriors. You know, Dynasty Warriors with force powers and lightsabers.
Now I
Force Fog.
I still, even having beat the game, I think the story is very, very good, but I still don't put it on the same level in terms of gameplay as I put Jedi Knight 2 and Jedi Academy. I still enjoy those games more in terms of gameplay.
So what else are you fondling?
Well, I was going to say, one aspect that I really, really like about Force Unleashed is the use of the Star Wars John Williams music.
Yeah.
The thing is, I mean, every Star Wars game, you know, uses the same music, you know. You know, the same music, you know. And it just seemed like in most other Star Wars games, they would just throw it in.
Right.
It would be like, oh, we're just throwing in music, you know, just for the sake of, you know, having Star Wars music in a, you know, in a Star Wars game. But I really think that the music, like, editing, like, certain, like, provoking certain emotions in certain scenes, you know, using music from all six movies. So, like take, for instance, the very beginning, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but, you know, when Darth Vader first meets the apprentice, you know, as, you know, little boy, how it has the same music as episode 3, where Anakin Skywalker, you know, kills the kids,
right,
in the Jedi Temple. It uses that same exact music, and for the situation in the storyline of the game, it actually fits,
right,
that type of emotion. And I feel that is probably the best use of the Star Wars music.
There's a really good use of it later.
But, yeah. But nice. Other than that, okay. Okay. Moving onward. I also played some more Dragon Quest IV. It's really good. It's for the Nintendo DS. If you're into RPGs and if you want to experience a classic RPG, I mean, this game is literally about 20 years old. I mean, it's a remake, of course. It uses the Dragon Quest VII engine, which was on PS1. It uses that engine, but essentially, in terms of gameplay mechanics, it's a 20-year-old RPG. So, if you're interested in basically the roots of JRPGs, I think the Dragon Quest is like the main root, you know.
It's the root of all evil.
Yes, yes, it is.
This is the
title. I thought that was money.
That was the title of the Feast of the Dead's new album. Oh, snap, which is in stores now.
In stores now.
No, it's not.
No.
If he left one, there it is.
There you go.
But I played some more Dragon Quest IV, and I played a little demo. Blue, blue, blue. Is that a hint?
No, not really.
It should be.
Yeah.
That sound effect is terrible.
Boo, doo, boo.
If you get to talk about Mega Man, you just come on like. See, now I know what you're talking about. Okay, this isn't podcast of singing Mega Man music.
Welcome to the Mega Man singing podcast.
So what do you think of the 9?
The 9? I played the demo on PSN. I really like it.
It was funny because I was talking to M. Jones last night on PSN. He asked me if Mega Man 9 was hard, and I said, of course it's hard. It's
Mega Man.
Exactly.
And he's like, then I won't buy it because it's too hard for me. And I'm like, these new school gamers, man. He's like, there's not a very easy mode. I was like, no, there's only one mode. It's called Asshole Hard.
It's called Mega Man.
It's called Mega Man Difficulty.
Mega Man is its own category of difficulty.
Then I felt like his parent when I said practice makes perfect. He said that's something my mom would say.
Oh, snap.
Like, damn, I'm old.
Man. we need to school these noobs.
Yeah,
you know?
most folks didn't, or I shouldn't say most folks, but a lot of gamers nowadays didn't grow up on Mega Man like we did.
I think he was born almost 10 years after the first game came out.
Wow.
Wow.
How old does that make you feel?
Very old.
Very.
So what did you think of the 9? Now, you only played the demo, but...
Yeah, I played one stage, which Concrete Man, and I made it to Concrete Man before it, you know, went to another screen and told me, you know, to buy the
floors.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get back into the swing? Took me like 2 or 3 runs.
It took me at least 2 or 3 runs. I mean, I was dying on that first jump like few times.
With the stupid birds dropping stuff and the green thing shooting you.
Between the bird droppings and the freaking robots coming out of the below you and shooting guns right at the opportune time of you jumping to the next platform, it took me a few times to get hold of, you know, to get hang of the rhythm.
Old schoolness of it.
Yeah, there's like an old school rhythm, you know. You have to get into the... It really is almost like a musical rhythm in a way. There's like a certain logic about those type of games that came out back then that type of logic does not exist in modern gaming.
It's on another plane.
The whole game's purpose basically was to make you die.
Yeah.
Like that was the purpose behind everything that was there. Nowadays, a lot of games have enemies for the purpose of you to kill them. Like the purpose of the enemy being there is so you can kill them.
Yeah.
Back then, the purpose of an enemy was to make you die.
Yeah, his purpose was to kill you.
Right.
That's all he was there for.
I really like that description of enemies.
You look at a game like Force Unleashed, all of the enemies can kill you.
They're all there for you to kill.
But they're there for you to kill.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to... You can stand there for... You know, 5 minutes, and a lot of the enemies won't kill you. Yeah. They'll shoot at you, but you won't die. They're there specifically for you to kill. Dynasty Warriors is another good example.
Yeah.
But back then, enemies were always there for you to perish at the hands of.
Mario fell under that same category as well. So there you go.
But,
so you going to buy the full version?
Yeah. The thing is, though, I'm kind of on a crossroads. I don't know which full version to get. I don't know if I want to get the PSN version or the Xbox 360 version.
Why not WiiWare?
Well, because I don't hardly ever play the Wii.
But if you had a classic controller, you could play it like old school.
That's true. But the thing is, my Wii is hard to detect on the router that I have.
I know
you should change the channels.
Right.
Yeah, but
the only thing that's tempting me towards the I've got things tempting me towards both versions, but tempting me towards the PSN version is
the
D-pad is
yes.
so much better.
Oh my
but
god.
But tempting me towards the 360 version is the achievements,
which are sick.
So
they are sick. I might get 2
because
I might get both of them just for the sake of it.
I'm so excited about the this game that I can see myself really putting in a lot of time to try and get the achievements. So.
Yeah, I know. That's what's going to... Like, some of the stuff, like beating the entire game with just the Mega Buster.
Nice.
That's one of the achievements. I'm like, damn.
Nice.
Beat the game 5 times in one day.
Now that is
really?
Hardcore.
Yeah. Wow.
That's hardcore. Beating it in under a certain amount of time. I mean, there's some really good achievements, and they're hard.
Right.
So
wasn't it like 45 minutes?
Yeah, it's like 45 minutes to beat the whole game.
Wow. I'm like, shit. Yeah. I think there's like 4 or 5 Dr. Wily stages.
Nice. So, are you playing anything else, or is that it?
That is pretty much it.
And, what are you looking forward to this week?
This week, I plan on purchasing Mega Man 9. And maybe, if I have some money left over, purchasing Wipeout.
Wipeout
HD on PS3. I might just get both games on PSN. I need to show my PS3 some loving.
It's all right. It's all good.
I still love the D-pad. the thought of playing a Mega Man game on the 360 controller
scares me.
Yes,
it scares me too.
I played Anniversary Collection a couple weeks ago, no problems. But that's just me. I don't have as big a problem with the D-pad as everybody else does. I understand that it's a little off here and there, but
yeah.
It doesn't hinder me enough to care. I love my achievements. All right.
But yeah, that's it.
So, Mr. Wolverine, how you doing?
All right.
Good. What are you playing?
I did play The Force Unleashed. Don't need to talk about it. Duke Nukem.
Duke!
For the Xbox the Duke. Live Arcade.
Time to kick ass.
And chew bubble gum.
I want a lot of gum.
They Live. Great movie.
It's exactly the same as it was,
10 years ago.
Forgot how hard it was, now that we talked about Mega Man, how hard it was.
Duke Nukem's hard because now we don't have cheat codes anymore.
Nope.
And flying pig cops and giant brains.
Yep.
But I tell you, for Xbox Live Arcade, it's a big game.
Yeah.
We only played through the first episode, and that was like an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Whatever that last level was, where they just had us going through sewage, was a pain in the ass. Back and forth.
Because we kept dying, you had to start over at the beginning of the level and run all the way back through the level.
So
sickening.
But, you know, I guess I had fun with it. Yep. I don't know what to say about it. It's Duke Nukem.
8-player co-op now, which if you've ever played 8-player co-op on that game, it's like insanity. Because the game doesn't scale for 8 players. It still is the original 1-player game. So, like, you have 8 people
trying to kill the same thing.
Yeah, the single-player game guy. And what's funny is, like, one guy can run through the whole level and hit the end of the level, and even if everybody's not there, it's going to end anyway. Yeah.
Nice.
You can see it pop up on your screen where he pushes his fist on the self-destruct button.
Yep. So.
Yeah, Duke Nukem.
They put a lot of extra touches to it. Like, you can turn on smoothing, and you can adjust the size of the screen, and you can do motion blur, and they even have the achievement tracker.
Oh, I didn't mess around with that.
The achievement tracker shows you, like, how close you are to each achievement, like how many kills online, how many people you've shrunk and stepped on, all that stuff. So,
neat.
It's pretty cool.
Cool. Good.
Sweet.
All right. And then 2 other things, but CT will talk about it more. Wipeout. He let me try for 5 minutes. It's Wipeout in HD.
But that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing. I would totally suck at that game if it didn't have a pilot assist on.
Bumper bowling mode.
Yeah. So, it won't let you touch the walls.
Well, it will, but you got to really try.
Yeah. So you rarely get destroyed. So if I had that on, I would be destroyed so fast. I just suck at racing games at all kinds. And then
Killer Wolverine crashes.
Yep. Burnout. And then Little Big Planet. I played on his PS3.
Oh! What do you think?
It's fun. Didn't mess around with a whole bunch of it. That's why I let him talk about it more. But the creative mode, obviously, I don't think anything can beat it. It's really deep, really cool. The story mode, I don't even know if there's a story behind it, to tell you the truth.
Bunch of sack people?
I don't even know. I know the first level was a tutorial, basically.
You know, when I get Little Big Planet, I'm going to create a tea bag factory so I can, tea bag other sack people, you know?
You put a big penis in it, too?
No. Why do you think I am, a fiend?
You're making a teabag factory. The teabag sacks. What do you think?
Oh.
Ew.
Ew.
Ew. Yeah, I had fun with it for the, 10 minutes I played. So, everything you heard of is what pretty much is the game. So, I don't know. I didn't really extensively play it, so I'll let you talk about it.
What are you looking forward to playing this week?
Mega Man. Hopefully, if I have the money, Silent Hill.
Yes.
Yes.
Excellent. Indeed.
And hopefully Rock Band. Get my copy of Rock Band.
If you ever get your copy of Rock Band.
Yeah.
I still haven't got my copy of Rock Band yet either.
Damn peoples.
So.
Rock the band.
Fuck.
For like the first time ever, I think my wife is actually bugging me to buy a game.
That is awesome.
Rock Band.
Yeah.
She likes
Band. She's like, so when are you going to buy Rock Band? When are you getting Rock Band? When are we getting Rock Band 2? When are you buying it? When are you getting it?
You're like,
I'm like, man, you're like a geek right now. Calm down.
When are you getting Rock Band? What? What?
That's awesome.
Fix. All right, well, I guess that leaves me. And wow, I'm amazed at how much crap I did play this week. I played Duke Nukem quite a bit. Like he said, it's Duke Nukem. If you loved it before, you'll love it again. And for $10, I'm really impressed with how much you get. Trying to go over the generic stuff first. Not the Duke Nukem's generic, but you know what I mean. Stuff that everybody's already talked about. I always play Force Unleashed. It's like my new Soul Calibur and Mario Kart. It's like a weekly thing now. Wow, that was loud.
Yeah, that was very loud.
I can't do it again. That's crazy.
Welcome to the News for podcast.
I'll talk about Wipeout. Wipeout HD, I just got it, like, last night, and I played through, like, the first two campaign modes, and just, wow. I mean, there have been so many games that tried to be Wipeout, and you don't remember how good Wipeout is until you play it again. It is so pretty, and it plays so good. It's so much fun. And then, you know, it's got the Jason Gambrell soundtrack.
Yes, it does.
Somebody scream! I'll scream. Anyway, but it is really pretty. I'm amazed. This is the funny thing I say about Wipeout. For $60 full price title, I wouldn't have been disappointed.
Right.
It's that good.
Sweet.
And I busted my trophy cherry on it. I got 4 trophies last night.
Some trophies?
Yeah. Aww. And it does make a little sound.
Yeah, it's like, not as dramatic. Just it's like
meh, meh. Just so generic. It like, pops up.
It's like, hey, you got a trophy.
Does it sound like when you used to turn on the PlayStation 2?
No. Nah, doesn't sound like that. But seriously, if you were a fan of Wipeout, then there is no excuse not to buy this game. It's a freaking awesome game. It does hit that Wipeout difficulty real fast. Like, real fast. Even if you're playing on easy, which if you remember the Wipeout difficulty. And the thing about Wipeout is it's not just a game about flying fast through the level. There's actually a lot to the controls. Like, you can do the barrel rolls, and you have to maintain the energy on your ship so that you don't explode and you can actually finish the level. It's got weapon power-ups. The one weapon I'm disappointed I haven't seen yet, I don't know if it's in the game yet, is that shockwave weapon that was from, like, 3, you hit it and the level would just go through there. I haven't seen that yet. And there's a new mode called Zone, which is like what you saw in the trailers where you would have the music messing with the level. And basically for however far distance you go, like, the level changes. Like, it looks like Tron, and you're flying through the level, and it's like all one color kind of thing, and it's all bright and neon. Then when you get so far, you'll hear the announcer go, like, flash, and it'll overlay the entire level with a different color.
Nice.
And it's just trippy. I mean, that's like my favorite mode.
Whoa.
That mode's awesome. And then you got your races, your time trials, and your speed laps and all that. But if you love Wipeout, you need to buy this game. $20, it's a steal.
I think I'll be picking that up this week.
It is freaking awesome. It's online, so you'll be able to play it online. I haven't played online yet, so I don't know if it lags or anything. But it's the shit.
There's an interesting problem with it that we'll get through.
Yeah, we'll get to that in the news. There's a very interesting problem with it, which I will have to apologize to a bunch of listeners when we get to that segment.
It's weird.
It is weird. Little Big Planet. I was lucky enough to get into the beta this week. I'm guessing I played through all of the story mode levels that are in the beta, because it's just like one section of the garden that you play through. And the one thing I can say while I'm playing that game is I can't frown. Like, the whole time I'm playing, I can't be upset with it, because it's too damn cute. And the music is too damn happy. I'm just going through the level. I'm like, even if I die, I'm like, ah. Oh, I got a big smile on him. It's like, ah.
That was beautiful.
He died in a cute way. Oh, cute.
No, that little sack boy.
Yeah.
He died with a frown on his face.
What's very interesting about the game is, like, the controls are so simple. Like, every button on the controller is used for, like, his emotions.
Right.
Which, like, the triggers If you hold him down, you can move his arms with the left and right stick. The D-pad controls all of his different emotions. Like if he's smiling, if you push it up once, he smiles. You push it up again, he has a big smile. You push it up again, he has like his tongue hanging out.
Awesome.
All he can do is jump, as far as I know, and he can grab things with the R1. You pull down the R1 button, and he'll like grab items or he'll grab on ledges and stuff. But the way the levels are laid out, like the levels that you're playing through that they've created, you see, and what's cool about this game is when you go through and you see these things, you're like, ooh, I can use that in my level
right.
when I get those pieces.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the level editor, people have obviously found more stuff in it than I have. Because when I've been toying around with it, I've been very limited. I haven't had a lot of time to spend with it, but it's sick how big the areas are that you get to play around with. So it looks like you could create like just some really awesome stuff. And I've been playing some of the people's levels online, and you can definitely tell people are just getting used to it.
Right.
Because I played one level that literally didn't end. Like you did all the stuff on the level, and then you're just running on this blank plane. I ran on it for like 2 minutes. I'm like,
I think your level broken.
I think you need to put the end checkpoint on here somewhere because I keep going. But it looks like there's a lot of cool stuff. And what I'm really interested in is like getting everything unlocked so I can do like the music cues. Like when I walk past this, this music comes up. Or
right.
if I do this, this happens. And just all the little stuff that are in the game. It's what's funny is it's so stupidly simple. The stuff in the game, but
yeah.
you can't help but enjoy it because of the physics engine, the way it looks, and presentation is off the chart. Like when you first start the game, it takes you through this long tutorial of how to play and do different stuff, and the guy that does the voiceover is hilarious. I wish it was subtitled because there's sometimes where he's a little quiet, but other than that, and I don't understand everybody having issues with the jumping. Like
the
everybody
floaty.
Keeps,
yeah,
the
I've
floaty.
Heard some people complaining about the jumping.
You get used to it in like 2 minutes if
right.
you've played games before.
Right, that's
seriously.
What I was about ready to say.
Well,
yeah.
if you tap it harder, you jump higher.
Yeah, if you tap harder, you jump further. And if you hold it down, you'll
yeah.
jump further too. And it's like, really, did it take you this long to get used to this?
Just about every platforming game
yeah.
ever.
Has a different
has,
jumping
yeah.
mechanic. I think what it is a lot of people are used to double jumping and you can't double
right.
jump in this game. And like people are gonna throw fit over that, but
why would you double jump in this game?
I have no idea. My one issue with the game that I have, my very small issue with it, is that you know that there's three planes that you
right.
can move in and out of. Sometimes that's a little wonky. Like when you go in and out, you'll get behind stuff and then he'll come pop back out of it, and sometimes you'll go into the second or the foreground and you didn't know that you did it. And that's
well,
the only
thing. I thought
thing.
The only way you can get into the like the background, I guess, is you jump into it.
No, you can just push up, and he'll
oh,
go
see,
into
I,
the background.
I didn't either. The tutorial said if you just jump, you automatically go.
If there's a jump back there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Something about the... well, but I mean, it's a beta, though, so hopefully... And from what I understand, it's sort of an older build.
Oh,
so
I'm sure
hopefully
it's an older
all
build, I mean.
All that'll get ironed out.
Like I said, nothing in the beta concerns me. And in fact, it made me feel better that the game is actually what they're making it out to
yeah.
be.
Right.
So that's really the long and the short of it. I mean, it's really fun.
Everything just, you read about is
true
in this game.
I mean, it's in there.
Does anybody know? I might have overread this or whatnot, but does anybody know if you can actually insert your own music into the game?
I have not seen that. I know you can take a picture of yourself and plaster it all over the level.
That is awesome.
Take a picture of your face and then just sticker it everywhere.
Did we ever figure out whether the you're gonna have to test this whether the live vision camera will work if you plug it into the?
You mean the eye?
The
PlayStation
eye? No, the live vision camera will work if you plug it into the PlayStation. The Xbox vision
oh,
camera
really?
Will work if you plug it.
I've
into
I've never
the,
tried that.
Somebody mentioned that a while back, and I didn't know if anybody ever tested it.
I don't know. That's kind of weird. I never
mean,
would
a,
think of
it. It's just a
USB
camera.
So
yeah.
I would imagine it wouldn't work, or would I would.
You would think it would work.
Yeah, thank you.
There you go.
Wow, I've never even thought of trying it because I have a PlayStation Eye. So.
Right. You should try it and see if it works and
I'll
report back next week.
I'll report it back. Thank you. Good night. This is Tom.
Because I really don't like...
Well, then why wouldn't the...
PlayStation Eye work on the 360?
Well, the Rock Band drums work with the PS3.
That's
but
another
that's,
good question.
That's true.
Yeah, because they're both USB and they don't work. Vice versa.
It's true.
But then again,
that's
those
an
are
actual controller.
See, that
has
probably
the button.
Probably construed differently because it's probably more of, on the terms of the game side of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's an input device, so yeah. that makes a difference.
Well, then again, so is the camera. It is an input device. but not your traditional controller.
Yeah, it doesn't have like the same functionality as a controller. So, oh, that'd be an interesting test just to try it out.
Might break.
Yeah, because I really
good luck with it.
I like the PSI, and I like the fact that it has a microphone built into it.
The PlayStation
Eye
is much better than the Vision.
Yeah, I was about to say I think it's a much better camera than the Vision camera, but I really don't have any purpose for two cameras in my house.
Yeah, neither do I. I don't even use the first one.
It would be nice if it would go back and forth.
That's an interesting question. Never use the Vision camera.
Maybe perhaps one of our listeners knows this answer.
There you go.
This is true.
That's a thought.
If you know the answer, you can post it on the forums. Anyway, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I played besides...
You played that fighting game.
I'm going for that.
My bad.
I'm trying to think anything besides that. Mega Man 9, which we already talked about. So the last thing that I played was Lego Batman.
Lego
the
Batman.
The game that everyone wanted to play last week, one played.
Well, here's
the
funny thing. When I picked up Lego Batman, I said to myself, you know what? I'm so sick of these Lego games, but this is Batman, so I got to play it. I bought it, and I played like two or three levels, and I'm like, I've so played this a million times before. I'm so tired of these games. And it's true. I'm just tired of these games. So I'm going to put it away for a while and come back to it later because it is Batman, and it is really cool because like you have all the villains, and like each level is based on a villain, and it makes me wish it was a real Batman game.
Right.
But what's sad is it's still the best Batman game I've played in God, I don't know how long.
Right.
But it's Lego Batman. It's like the whole time you're playing, you're like, where's my lightsaber? Seriously, it's Lego. Like Indiana Jones was the same way. It's just like I'm getting so sick of these games. I really am, but it's Batman. So if it hadn't been Batman, I probably wouldn't have bought it. But the other game that I played that I wish I'd have bought instead of Lego Batman, which I did end up going back and picking up, was Battle Fantasia, which is a fighting game made by the same Arc System Works, the guys that did Guilty Gear. It's just as crazy as Guilty Gear. The characters are off the wall. There's a baby in knight's armor. There's a mouse that's a magician. There's a big, giant, huge dude with, like, mechanical steam engines on his back. I mean, there's a guy that looks like Faust from Guilty Gear, if you ever played that, with, like, a bag on his head. But this guy's name is Face. And he has a pointy hat that looks like a paper sack on his head and no shirt and a pistol.
Interesting.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just the characters in this game are ridiculous. And it was funny because, like, it seems like they tried to make a story mode. Like, there's a bunch of little cutscenes in between.
They did that in Guilty Gear, too.
They go through all these, like, dialogue things. And it's like the developers knew that I was going to skip this.
Right.
Because if you hold the Y button, it just flies right through it.
Nice.
Like doesn't even stop. But the fighting mechanics, not quite the depth of Guilty Gear, but just as, like, fast and frantic and, like, you can go into what's called a hot mode. You have a super meter at the bottom that can go three levels, and you can use one of those levels to go in what's called hot mode, and it, like, does, like, super fast and more damage. And what's funny is it's like an RPG because when you start the match, each character has hit points.
Nice.
There's a number underneath your health bar, and every time you hit them, a little number flies off of them, like in an RPG, like how many hit points you took off.
Cool.
And, I haven't figured this out yet, but like sometimes when I'm playing, I'll hear level up. It'll say my character leveled up. I'm like, but where do I see what level, what's going on? So I still need to look into that, but it's just like a fighting. I mean, it reminds me so much of Guilty Gear, and I get burned at the stake for that because there's so many people. It's nothing like Guilty Gear. Crazy cast of characters and over-the-top super moves made by the guys that did Guilty Gear. And visually, it looks like if they took Tales of Vesperia, made it look better, a lot better, and made it just a 2D fighter. It plays like a 2D fighter, but it's all built in 3D. It's all polygons built in 3D. And the backgrounds are ridiculous. And Hot Pants Harry Potter. I just had to bring that out because he creeps me out every time I see him. It is, like, freaking the most Japanese game I've played in a long time.
Now, is it full price $60?
No, it's $50.
$50?
Yeah. And the announcers... And before every match, you have, like, a little thing between each other. It's like King of Fighters where they do little animations to each other. And it's so Japanese. It's so quirky. It's so funny. And there's like so many different... The only thing I have a problem with is the lack of characters. I think there's only like 12 or 13, which is not terrible. But and they're so different. Like no two characters play the same.
Right. That's the key.
None of them play the same. There are no palette swaps in this game.
Yeah.
All of them are very unique and very different. And it is really a simple fighter. It doesn't have a lot of buttons. I think it has 4 attack buttons, and then you have your hot button meter, and then you have a parry button, which you can do parries with. It's more of a slow technical fighter than it is a bigger fighter. If you're a fan of Guilty Gear, if you're a fan of fighting games, you're a fan of Japanese fighting games, you definitely need to check this game out.
Maybe I'll pick that up this week.
It is very cool. Good luck finding it is all I can say, because I called I called my friend at GameStop, and I just happened to catch it as he got it. He got 2 copies a week after it came out.
Wow.
So it's very hard to find.
Yeah.
So, but actually, I think that wraps up everything I played this week. So this week it's Silent Hill and Mega Man, probably some more Battle Fantasia, more Little Big Planet, and to hope that I get a Killzone beta key, because that would be sweet.
I hope for that, too.
Yeah, I hope for that, too.
The Europeans got them this week.
Yep.
So hopefully we get them this week.
That'd be nice.
All right, so that wraps up Fondling, which we did pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, we streamlined it a little bit.
So now we're going to go into Killer Wolverine's dirt.
And now, News for Gamers Internet Star Radio program proudly presents Killer Wolverine's Weekly Dirt, brought to you by your mother, who would like to let you know that she hates you because you're ugly. Wow, that's awfully harsh for a mother. Now your host, Zero Tolerance.
I have to laugh at this first news story because I thought it said something else. When I read it, it said Microsoft announced that the 360 has broken the 6 million mark in Europe. I thought it said the 360 has broken 6 million times in Europe.
Yeah, probably that, too.
It's probably the same thing.
Bungie has updated their website with a new entry that has a cryptic message hinting at the imminent official announcement. That sounds so vague.
It's counted down since then.
Is the trailer in there? Did you discuss the trailer in there?
I think I did. I don't remember.
Okay. We'll see. If not, we'll discuss it at the end.
Did any of you seen the trailer?
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Talk about a vague trailer.
Yeah.
As we all know, Halo 3 got a second title update this week. Duke Nukem's up 800 points with 8-player co-op and Duke Match. Frontline's Fuel of War map pack is up for 800 points, contains 4 new maps, new air vehicles, and a new weapon.
They're
really supporting the hell out of that game, and I got to give them credit.
That's one new map for each person that's still playing it.
Shut up.
Snap.
In a cool move that we've been talking about for a while, Burnout Paradise is now available via download on PlayStation Network.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
The whole game.
Great idea.
And it's like $30. Yeah. So,
sweet.
Awesome. Quantum of Solace will be released on November 4th. For the video game, not the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Peter Molyneux. Here we go. Told Video Gamer that Fable 2 is now officially gold. It's released to manufacturing. Fable is absolutely finished and done and dusted.
No co-op.
No co-op at launch.
Later on.
Yeah, well, that's all right. We'll get to it.
If you accidentally delete something you downloaded from PSN, Sony will allow one additional courtesy download. After that, you'll have to buy it again.
That's for the video store.
Oh, for the video store.
Right.
Sorry.
Okay.
And apparently to qualify for the additional courtesy download, I think you have to actually call Sony.
Yeah, you do. And you really got to please them.
Right.
Really? Yeah. How? No, I'm kidding.
I don't want to know.
That's not a smart move on Sony's part.
Absolutely not.
According to Rockstar boss Dan Houser, GTA Chinatown is on the DS because, quote, the Wii didn't feel natural to us.
When does the Wii feel natural?
Usually when you're about 13.
When you're playing Nintendo's first party titles.
See, that joke worked on 2 levels if you caught that.
Yeah.
Indeed.
There you go. Kotaku is reporting a rumor that PS3 firmware 2.5 will likely hit October, with Home 1.0 releasing simultaneous to that. And after Kotaku's little debacle this week, did you read that?
Yeah.
About what?
We can talk about their credibility of taking rumors for face value, where the site cheapassgamer.com?
Yeah.
They had a contest where they see if they could, one of their users come up with a rumor that get posted on a blog, and without checking any sources, Kotaku posted it.
Son of a bitch.
They fell
called
for
it back.
They fell
well,
for
then
it.
I fell for it too, probably.
It wasn't this story.
Okay.
No.
Well, there's more Kotaku stuff on there now.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye out for it, and if it shows up on here, we'll not say it
How
to
did
save
I
your
fall
credibility.
Through the cracks on that one?
It was such a funny, like, they made a huge news story about it. It was just it had to make them feel bad, you know, like.
Wow.
As we all know, Proto Man will be available via DLC for $2.
Cool.
GBA game Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories will hit PS2 later this year.
What?
Will cost $29.99.
What?
A DS game going
really?
To PS2? That's crazy.
GBA game, PS2.
I wonder how it'll translate.
Oh, sorry, GBA.
Yeah, GBA game.
Weird. A shit ton of DLC for Rock Band this week.
Last week now.
Yeah, well, this past week. Right. We finally got Rush's album, Moving Pictures.
Three years later.
For 880 points or $10.99. Six other single songs at 160 points are $1.99 apiece, which was Bad Religion, Sorrow.
Which is a good song.
The Cult with She Sells Sanctuary.
Say that 10 times fast.
I don't know. Hot Hot Heat with Bandages. Kasabian with Shoot the Runner. Sleater-Kinney with You're No Rock and Roll Fun. And what? Stone Roses with Love Spreads. Like, okay, whatever.
I've only heard of two of those songs.
You'll be listening to this podcast on Monday the 29th because Xbox Live will be offline.
Yeah.
The purpose of this maintenance is to prepare for the Xbox Live experience, the new one.
I'm excited about that.
But it will not be there when you log back on.
It's just preparing.
It's just preparation.
Battlestar Galactica's Trisha Helfer will voice Black Cat in Spider-Man Web of Shadows. She is currently voicing the same character on the show, The Spectacular Spider-Man. Spider-Man seriously has like the most adjectives to describe as any superhero.
Spectacular,
alive.
Sensational, amazing.
Little Big Planet Euro Beta has started. Yay.
Yay.
Ensemble Studios' canceled project was a Halo MMO.
Bad idea.
Yeah, that's probably why it's canceled.
Yeah.
Tenchu 4 will release in both U.S. and Europe.
Woohoo! I'm probably the only person excited about that.
I like Tenchu. I do.
I like Tenchu. Rikimaru!
I'm a Tenchu fanboy, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, even though half the games have sucked. I'm not ashamed to admit it. And I love Tenchu Z.
I like Tenchu Z. I didn't love it. The 360 has seen a 32% increase in defective units. Oh, I'm sorry. The 360 has seen a 32% increase in the UK, and the PS3 has seen an 8% drop, all thanks to the price cut.
Yeah.
Sony announced Punisher No Mercy, a PSN game by Zen Studios. It will be an arena-based multiplayer title and will be powered by the Unreal Engine 3. And did you see the screenshots?
It looked good. Yeah.
It looked good.
I see. At first, when they announced that last week, I thought it was a full-blown title.
No, it's a DLC title.
Yeah.
That's
it looks
the one.
Really good.
The one big edge that PSN has over Xbox Live right now is the games that are going up on PSN are just. Head and shoulders above.
Wipeout and Warhawk.
Yeah.
And,
head and shoulders above most of the games on Live Arcade.
Yeah. If you order Rock Band 2 from Amazon.com, you will get 1,600 Microsoft points along with the game.
Nice.
But you have to order before October 4th.
Hurry up.
Midway had to borrow $40 million from their own assets just to cover the manufacturing costs for their Holiday 08 games lineup, according to Kotaku.
Is that one jank?
No, that was not the fake one.
Oh, there's only one fake one?
Yes.
Yeah, they fell for one.
Yeah, all right. If it's not in here, you have to let me know.
Okay.
Warriors Orochi 2 came out on the 24th and is already in need of a patch that will fix slowdown during battle scenes.
Wait, hold on. A Dynasty Warriors game has slowdown during battle scenes?
The same day it came out, it needs a patch to fix it.
You didn't know that before you shipped the freaking thing? Seriously.
You didn't know that it was a Dynasty Warriors game and that it was going to have slowdown?
EA is bringing Trivial Pursuit to the 360, PS2,
Sweet.
PS3, and Wii in spring of 09.
Yeah, I could see why it would take them so long to make a Trivial Pursuit game.
Well, they're making a Monopoly game first.
Indeed, they are.
That'd be pretty cool.
Banjo-Kazooie for Xbox Live Arcade will be available November 26th for 1,200 Microsoft points.
Woo-hoo.
Or for free if you pre-ordered nuts
Indeed.
And bolts. Sweet. The box art for Street Fighter 4 is out. Did you see it?
Yes.
Chun-Li.
Yeah. Chun-Li.
A lot of people do not like it.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's okay.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's all right. What matters is what's on the inside.
I would have preferred just like, you know, the logo on like maybe a black background.
That looks like generic GameStop.
Yeah, but...
Yeah,
like if it was like the Grand Theft Auto box where the Street Fighter 4 logo was raised up a little bit from the black background, I think it'd look pretty neat. Or at least, you know, the whole Street Fighter 4 with all the characters on the front of it would be kind of cool.
See, I think all the characters would be too much. I think like Ken and Ryu.
That would have
like fighting
good idea.
On it or something.
Now, see,
they should have had it like them face to face, like they were getting ready to punch each other.
Remember the original Street Fighter 2 box art for the Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
Where it was
Blanca.
Ryu- Yeah, and Chun-Li.
Right, right.
That actually looked kind of
bad.
Have
you seen the box art for Guilty Gear 2? Like, in the background, it looks like the two dudes are getting ready to kiss.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You should go look at that. LucasArts has announced that Star Wars Force Unleashed is a force to be reckoned with and sold
wow.
more than 1.5...
Did you just make that joke?
I did.
Really?
Yeah, that wasn't written down.
No. Sold more than 1.5 million copies in less than a week, making it both the fastest-selling Star Wars game and LucasArts game ever.
You skipped a big word there. It's worldwide.
Oh, I'm sorry. Worldwide.
Yes, thank you.
I figured everybody thought that.
Well.
Yeah,
rumors floating around that Brash Entertainment... makers of such great games as Space Chimps and Jumper is working on a game based on the children's book Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah.
It's not going to have any dialogue in it.
And that's where I'm not going to
be.
Game.
Dude, it's going to be awesome. You don't know what you're talking about. Peter Molyneux told Game Informer that, quote, "We've actually been working on another project for a while now, and obviously it's ridiculously ambitious in a very simple way. It's a simple and pure idea and very, very different to anything I've done before. I haven't said anything about the game to anyone, and neither should I until next year, but I think it'll surprise people."
Racing game.
You know what it's going to be? It's going to be a video game where you talk on a cell phone or your headset and you text message people. And depending on how many people you call or text message, you rack up points.
I think it's going to be, called Overpromised Underdelivered 2.
Oh,
no, I'm just
snap!
Kidding. I had to take a shot.
Oh. Video game 247 is reporting that Far Cry DLC is already playable. Which, seriously, why is it not in the game then? Okay, I'm just gonna go with that. Serious. Hold shit back so you can sell it to me later. Bite me. The new Xbox experience is still reported to come out in November. Ryu and Ken's master, Gouken, will be an unlockable character in Street Fighter 4, but he's only been announced for the arcade.
Dude, he's coming to the console.
You know he will.
He'll probably be paid downloadable content.
PopCap Games' Peggle will be up sometime in 2008 for Xbox Live Arcade for 800 points.
Which I've heard is really cool. I haven't played it, but I've heard it's a lot of fun.
Silver Sable, Barracuda, Jigsaw, and Bushwhacker,
nice.
Four of the greatest names for superheroes ever, will be
not
appearing
superheroes.
In Punisher,
Super
No
villains.
Mercy.
Well, Silver Sable is...
Yeah.
Whatever. They're stupid names.
whatever Crypto the Wonder Dog? What the fuck?
I never said that wasn't stupid. I don't try to attack yours.
Yeah, Crypto was stupid.
Vigilante.
Whatever, Martian Manhunter.
Oh.
Eat a dick.
Oh, jeez.
Shut up, Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh. Shut up, Captain Marvel.
Dude, Captain Marvel's on us, too.
I know, but...
Okay, jackass!
But it's still a stupid name.
Shazam!
I can't say it. Yeah,
Shazam! Vigilante 8 for Xbox Live Arcade is finally past testing and is ready for release, but no release date yet. Kotaku is reporting that Banjo-Kazooie's sequel, Banjo-Tooie, will be on Xbox Live Arcade in early 2009. According to Kotaku again...
See, I told you there's a lot of news I get from
yeah.
them. So.
SCEE has signed a deal with Future Publishing. Who's that?
Yeah.
That will see an on-console
there you go.
Weekly digital magazine available exclusively through the PlayStation Network.
Nice.
They're reporting that the content will be editorial in nature with demos and DLC. It's kind of like Core, and it will hit the UK first in early 2009 with other European territories to follow.
Cool. I wonder if it'll be like a digital version of OPM.
I don't know. That'd be cool, though. RE5 spoiler, maybe. Albert Wesker is back.
Thing is, though, I saw a screen scan from an issue of Famitsu magazine, and it did look like it. It looks like Albert Wesker.
That was confirmed.
He's been confirmed.
Yeah.
That's him.
Albert Wesker.
Yeah.
Sweet. Speaking of Legos, NetDevil is working on a Lego MMO called Lego Universe.
Yeah, that's old.
That's lame.
Who cares?
It's old news, Wolverine. It's old.
Well, hated we haven't heard it from in a while.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
EA is interested in doing a PS3 version of Left 4 Dead, according to I Ate Everybody in Town, Gabe Newell. Actually, this has been confirmed. PlayStation Network cards are getting a retail blast in October. They're going to be going to Best Buy, Walmart. It was on the PlayStation
Walmart's
blog.
Walmart's already carrying them.
I didn't think Walmart was.
Wait, I had something else in there. I think they're getting them in November. Someone's getting them in November.
Well, the PlayStation blog actually announced just like yesterday that they're doing a big retail blast and they're going out to a bunch of other stores. So PSN cards will become more available in October.
Sweet.
Valve has said that the Team Fortress 2 updates will not be coming to the PS3. As we mentioned, Wipeout HD and Mega Man 9 are on PSN. In order to get trophies for Burnout Paradise, you have to create a new save. That sucks. But that's nothing new for games that had trophy support added to them. We've always had to go back and do them. But having to delete your save,
that sucks.
It does.
Kotaku is reporting that there will be a drug-dealing minigame in GTA Chinatown Wars for the DS.
Doesn't shock me.
Hey, mommy, look what I did.
Which makes it...
I bought some crack from these bitches.
I was standing on the corner slinging. Dude, that's got to be a sound bite. We need to add that into the next theme song.
I bought some crack from these bitches.
According to a press release on TeamXbox.com, August was a huge month for Xbox Live Arcade. Over the course of the five-week summer of arcade program, there was a 58% increase in unique member purchasing titles, and August broke the monthly revenue high by 67%.
Yeah.
Here's why. Put quality games on the service, and you will sell them.
Put jank... generic browser? Arcade games on there, and you won't.
Exactly.
Indeed.
Which is why PSN is so successful now.
The 360 has outsold the PS3 in Japan for a second week in a row.
Whoa.
Thanks to Infinite Undiscovery and Tales of Vesperia, which still remains in like the top 10 Japanese game sales right now. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I mean, 2 weeks in a row? That's
a 360 game?
That's like lightning striking twice.
It is. To call the church and ask him if hell froze over.
Man.
The DLC for Rock Band this week will be Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar Sex Magic. The full album will cost $19.99 or 1,600 Microsoft points and also includes a song that was already on the disc. Way to go. or individual tracks for $1.99 or 160 space bucks. If you were lucky enough to get into the Little Big Planet beta, all the levels that you may have created will not work.
No, I think they debunked that. I think Sony did.
No, it's confirmed that they're not going to transfer over.
I thought
over.
Sony confirmed that you can transfer over.
I thought I read that...
Because N4G posted a story from... I guess they had a... Well, it was in a thread saying for something from some Sony website. I don't know if it's official website or not, saying that that's not true. So.
See, I thought I read that the only ones that were going to carry... That they would try and pick some of the best beta levels and maybe carry those over. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Indeed.
You're probably correct because you read it more than me.
Puzzle Quest. Challenge of the Warlords is coming to PS3. That's an awesome game.
It's also on the cell phone.
Yeah. iPhone?
No, on my phone, actually, even.
iPhone? No, my phone.
My phone.
Oh, good. Activision has trademarked a new game, Dance Hero.
Wow.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Here's your other story about other Walmart, one. Best Buy, and Sam's Club will getting PSN cards in October and Barnes & Noble in November. If you pre-order the Gears 2 Limited Edition at Best Buy, you will get a remote control version of the COG vehicle, the Centaur tank. And if you get it for free, you can pre-order it starting October 5th.
No, and you get it for free.
Yeah, same difference. Leave me alone. the 40-gig PS3 has dropped in price. It's now $299.99. According to Kotaku, Rise of the Argonauts pushed back to 2009. Star Wars Force Unleashed movie may be in the works. That's interesting.
Hmm.
According to Kotaku again, the Fable 2 launches, their co-op will not be available outside of the box because it's not quite ready. However, it will be a part of an update that will hopefully be out within the first week of the game's launch.
Hey, didn't Peter say that it was done?
Yeah, he did.
He said it's done and dusted, but yet the co-op doesn't work yet.
The game's pretty much a big selling point, and it's not even ready.
Yeah, that's...
So basically, he's releasing a not...
A final version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
it's a
complete
it's a beta.
It's a beta on a disc, full resale price.
That's disappointing.
The last news story that we have is the one we talked about earlier with Wipeout. The weirdest glitch you will ever see in a game. And I have to apologize to anyone that I deleted off my friends list last night was because I never see you online and I don't know who you were. But if you have more than 50 friends on your friends list, the game locks up.
It
what?
Does. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have more
what?
Than 50.
And it did, too. I didn't think it would. I logged on to the game. I booted it up. As soon as I selected the first race, it locked up.
Yeah. Sony confirmed that, too, because I first read, like, oh, that
terrible.
Can't be true. And then I read Sony's release, and I'm like, wow.
Man, hopefully they'll get to work on fixing that.
Yeah, they are. They're working on it.
Yeah.
I don't know how soon it's going to be up.
Also, we should mention, too, in case people didn't read it, apparently also another game that's not shipping completely as originally promised is Little Big Planet. Apparently the co-op create mode, not the regular co-op mode, but just the co-op create mode, won't be quite finished for launch, but it should be available also soon after.
What's your what was the story that was fake?
They created a story saying that we may have even had this in the news last week.
Did we?
I don't remember. The new Xbox or the new version of the 360 was going to be called the Xbox Pure.
No, I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now. Yeah. It wasn't in our news.
No.
So that was the fake news story.
Nice.
So anybody that believed that, it was fake. It's not true.
Well, we didn't report
it's
it.
It's fake.
But, I mean,
if you read it somewhere else.
All right, now it's time to get into some questions. We ready to do some questions?
Let's do some questions.
Yes.
All right. The first
what we should do?
What?
We should do some questions.
Okay.
I thought we were going back to answer the huge one.
We'll get to that.
Well, that's not his.
We'll get to that.
Oh, all right.
We said we'd get to it. We will get to it.
All right.
That's gonna have to take a whole segment.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. We're gonna have to sit down and like go over it, like all make notes and like get some pie charts going.
I thought you wanted to say pie. Like, all right.
No. First
I'd like
question.
To get some pie.
I bet you would.
Pie is tasty.
First question from Easy Life. First and foremost, I love the show.
Thank you.
First question. How many 360 controllers have you gone through? Broke and wore out. Personally, 4.
Wow.
You're probably the only one with an answer here, aren't you?
I don't have any worn out, but I'm at least double digits. I don't
really
even remember.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. Double digits.
The Killer Wolverine. Controllers beware.
I still remember the one where he took the trade in. Because he had an extra controller, and the boogeyman's like, this is broken. And there's a big chip on the bottom missing. He's like, where? That's how mad he gets at him all the time. He doesn't even realize he breaks them.
It still works.
He like blacks out and just throws them.
I have not worn out any, nor have I broken
me neither.
Any.
The only thing I've wore out is a play-and-charge kit. I need to get a new play-and-charge kit.
Yeah, my batteries are all dead.
My battery lasts like 2 minutes now.
Yeah, I need new batteries.
Yeah, same here. I need to get a new battery.
The next question's interesting. Can you give me one reason to buy a PS3? I can give you about 100. Every time I'm there with the money, I can't find any games that justify spending $400. Hell, even the Saturn had Daytona USA.
Yeah, there's a ton of reasons to buy a PS3.
Wipeout HD,
yeah,
Uncharted, MotorStorm.
I'm sure Silent Hill's
going
to
be
bomb on
Folklore.
Warhawk, Metal Gear 4.
There's
a lot of
in the upcoming games, like I said, Silent Hill, Little Big Planet,
Resistance,
Killzone. There's a shit ton
of Resistance. Resistance 2, MotorStorm 2. Yeah.
Well, he's got a 360, so you can't really say Silent Hill, I guess.
Oh, right.
Because it's multiplayer. He's got a 360.
Oh, right.
He just asked
right
how many
there.
Controllers we broke.
Oh, right.
Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely a ton of reasons to buy a PS3.
Oh,
especially
if
you have the money and you play a lot of games, you should definitely buy a PS3.
Yeah.
All right, next up, John McEnroe. You might want to sit down for this.
Yeah.
We're going to have some fun for this.
This is epic. I'm just going to say it's epic.
This is epic, and we may get through this in this show.
We may.
Over the next hour.
He has
a lot of questions, probably 50 questions.
Yeah.
Nah, not quite 50, probably about 40.
Here we go. First question, question A. I love how he numbers his questions. I have an original PS3 60-gig SKU, and I have 28 gigs left on my hard drive, no music or video of any kind, and there is nothing telling the consumer that the online ID and profile is not on the hard drive. I do not have 32 gigs of game saves. I have taken my PS3 to a watch repair shop. They were unable to unscrew any of the screws on the hard disk drive. What is taking up all this space? I don't understand it. Do you see a crisis on the horizon coming up for people buying Little Big Planet and Far Cry 2? What of the poor slobs who bought a 40 gig? I did eventually get the screws off.
Well, Sony, yeah, there's a big crisis coming. But it's just like a computer. It's just like 360. The hard drive is taken up with other stuff.
Well, and also, too, installs.
Installs or game updates.
Yeah, that's going to take up some of your space as well. So,
and since I'm sure it has a web browser, some kind of operating systems on it.
Yeah, well, it's got the
PlayStation.
The operating system has a footprint, so.
Yeah, it's got the installs will kill you. If you don't have that game anymore, you can actually go into game. What's it called? Game.
I don't remember which option it is. I can see it on
it's,
the settings
yeah, it's
menu,
like
but
above
I can't remember the name
PS2
of it. Yeah,
PS2 memory card. It's like game something.
Games utility.
No, it's in the same as the saves, game saves, PS2 memory card, then there's another one, something, and you go in there and you can delete, like, if you've installed a game.
Right.
Like, I need to delete Vampire Rain. did you read my review?
I didn't read
your
review.
Did you like the tag? Oh, you didn't read it? The tagline was, please wait while this review installs.
Nice.
Because it was a 25-minute install for 4 gigs.
Yeah, it was about 17 minutes for Impact, so I feel your pain.
Yeah. All right, question B.
You still have that, by the way?
Yeah, do you want to borrow it?
Oh, no, I was just wondering. I didn't know if you got rid of it or not.
Question B, which are you looking more forward to, Left 4 Dead or Fallout 3? I ask this because there seems to be an ever-so-slight division between the gaming press, Fallout 3 for Joe and Joe Gamer Left 4 Dead, show rewards for Fallout and lines of gamers for Left 4 Dead. Wow, that's a good question.
That is a good question. For me, it's Fallout 3.
That's your kind of game.
Yeah, that's more my speed.
Same here.
I like
RPGs. Like I think I'd go Left 4 Dead just because that's more my kind of game.
We're divided. I'm going for Left 4 Dead. I look forward to Fallout 3.
Looking forward to Fallout 3. Don't get me wrong, but it's like I expect that game to be good. You know, and Left 4 Dead, it's such a new kind of interesting concept that I can't wait to dig into it. You know,
thing is, I'm looking. I'm Fallout 3, but I am really anticipating Left 4 Dead.
Same here.
The only problem I see with Left 4 Dead is that it's a you almost have to be playing it in multiplayer.
Well, yeah, that's what it's built for.
Yeah, it's built for multiplayer.
Yeah, so that's one aspect of that. This next question can throw me off a little bit. Is there a difference between a reviewer and a critic?
Yes.
Well, elaborate, please.
Indeed.
Actually, I was having a conversation with Conan,
the librarian.
Yeah, and it wasn't really about reviewers and critics. It was about critics and enthusiasts.
Well, there's a big difference between those two.
Yeah.
Enthusiasts are much different than critics and reviewers, but critic and reviewer. Like, for instance, on our site, we call ourselves reviewers. But are we critics? See, that's like that line.
I would say
it's a very thin line.
Yeah.
I would say in terms of language, they're functionally the same, like they're interchangeable. But in terms of attitude, they're completely different because a critic goes into a game looking for
everything wrong,
all the flaws, so they can mark score down, and a reviewer goes into the game weighing the pluses and minuses to come to a score.
And they'll mention the flaws if they encounter one. Like, your flaw, I might not see.
Right.
Well, here's a very good example of this. The Boogeyman used to write for a site called Next Wave Mag or whatever, and they had a review scale that every time some game did something new, they added it to the list of things that the games that were released after it had to have.
Right.
For instance, Soul Calibur was marked off for not having fatalities.
That's a critic.
That's a critic.
Right.
Whereas if we were to review Soul Calibur compared to Mortal Kombat, Soul Calibur would probably score higher even though it had less stuff in it because of other aspects that weighed it up further.
Right.
Yeah.
So a reviewer will look at every aspect of a game and then base it on that, whereas a critic will look at the whole game and start taking stuff off for stuff that it doesn't
do. I think that's the key difference is the whole starting with a score and taking points off for flaws or perceived flaws and weighing the pluses and minuses of a game. And coming to a score based on that.
Yeah, it's kind of like judging something based on a almost like a mathematical precision.
Right.
Well, there you go. That's the best way to put it. I know you're not done, but your critics judge. Reviewers, not so much.
They judge based on like mathematical precisions, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas reviewers judge more closely on based on artistic integrity. It's kind of weird, you know. It's like movies, like certain movies.
That's the next question, actually.
Okay,
that's
cool.
A good seg into it, then.
And this next part of this question, question D. For instance, Roger Ebert cited every flaw of the Gothica in his movie review, saying that, quote, they got everything wrong. Yet he gave it a thumbs up because he enjoyed it and it worked for him. Should a review like that cause someone to step down from their job? Did he review Gothica, or did Gothica review him as a movie critic? If so, has a game ever reviewed you as a critic?
Well, see, I mean, all right. It didn't work for him. Like, they got everything wrong, and the movie was ass awful. But he enjoyed it.
Right.
So, I mean, they got a lot of things wrong, according to him, but he enjoyed it. That's all that matters.
That's the bottom line of everything, is if you enjoy it.
Yeah, a reviewer can only judge things based on his own opinion. He can't judge things based on other people's opinion. So if he enjoyed it, even though it did technically everything wrong, then... No, I don't think he should have to step down from his job. And, I mean...
He just crossed over from, you know, critic to reviewer.
Right.
And Too Human did a lot of things wrong. Yeah. But I enjoyed it, so I gave it a decent score.
And, you know, the same thing with Force Unleashed for me.
Yeah.
I don't think... And to answer his last part of his question, I don't think there's ever been a game that reviewed me as a critic. Like, whenever I review a game, I sit down with it, and I try to look at everything that I enjoyed about it, and then I try to look at everything that I didn't enjoy about it, and I base it on that. There's never been a game that I played, and I sat there, and I go, okay, well, it doesn't do this, doesn't do that, doesn't do this, so it's bad. So,
well, I think his point was there ever a game that was just, you knew it was terrible, and that you should probably give it a low score,
but you enjoyed it
so much that you gave it a high score instead?
I gave Two Worlds probably a higher score than it really deserved, but it was enjoyable
once you got
through it.
I've never given a game a score I didn't feel like it deserved, but I'm sure there are scores that I gave games that people disagree with because I enjoy them despite technical aspects that may have been flawed.
Oh, yeah. Question E, which is more of a...
It's very philosophical.
Yeah, he says, may I share an idea with you? A black swan is... First, it is an outlier, as it lies outside of the realm of regular expectations, because nothing in the past can convincingly point to its possibility. Second, it carries an extreme impact. Third, in spite of its outlier status, human nature makes us concoct explanations for its occurrence after the fact, making it explainable and predictable. Nazim Nicholas, Taleb the Black Swan.
That was a quote.
He says, I keep hearing about the eventual reign of DLC, yet that seems predictable. Give me something out of the regular expectations in gaming. Give me a black swan.
Whoa.
I would say that a black swan that exists currently is user-created content. Because 10, 15 years ago, no one would have ever expected user-created content. Just because, at least not most gamers.
Console gamers.
Right. Because,
PC gamers have always had it.
Right. But it was something that was... Games were something that was delivered to you.
I have to agree with that. That's like the big one. That really is the big one, because it's so... You don't expect it to be good, and then when they put it in there, it just changes the whole dynamic of the game.
Right.
It does.
Yeah, I mean, a long time ago, console gamers, if you'd have said, hey, you're going to create your own levels for this game, it's like, well, what's the fun in that?
Yeah.
But, you know...
But then you hark back to Excitebike, and you go... God, I loved making my own levels. I wish I could share them with other people.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the next layer is,
Sharing.
User-created content games that have online multiplayer components.
In a way that falls under the reign of DLC.
I guess it does.
Yeah, it does.
So DLC would have to be the black swan.
Yeah.
No, he says it's too predictable to be the black swan.
Well, I mean, anything you do now has to be DLC.
Pretty much, it really does, and that's where I think we're going to see a divide because of all the people that don't have online. Only get half the game anymore.
I got
you
a better
don't
one.
Have DLC.
Yeah.
I got a better one. That's kind of cool. The metagaming stuff that happens now, where like certain computer games do it, where they'll call you on your actual cell phone
or send you instant messages.
Yeah, or send you that's. That would have been very unpredictable many years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway.
It's a very interesting question.
That is a very interesting question. You know what's another good one is the use of the Wii speaker as a phone in...
No More Heroes.
No More Heroes. And here's another one. There was a... what was it? The Nokia phone?
N-Gage.
The N-Gage.
Right.
There was a game on it that actually used
GPS.
Yeah. And you actually would, like, go through the game in real life using the GPS. I think that would be pretty sweet. And I think if there was like a multiplayer version of that, you know, where other players can like hook up, you know, in real life by playing this cell phone game, I think that could be really cool.
All right. Next question. Question F. Everyone loves Resident Evil 4. Was it really that good? Resident Evil 3 made me anxious all the time waiting for Nemesis.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 4 just tried to roll a boulder on top of me.
I think they were good in different ways.
Resident Evil 4 was more action-oriented, and it strayed away from the survival suspense horror. And survival horror yeah. aspects of the game. And I think, really, for the old-school Resident Evil fans, they just couldn't accept the new style. They liked the old style better. But if you were more of an action gamer, it was so up your alley that you just loved it and you didn't care.
Yeah.
So, I love all Resident Evils.
I love them, too, but, like, when you got to 4, I feel like we changed games.
Oh, yeah.
Almost. Well, like, yeah. It was, like, a new kind of experience, and I think that's why a lot of people that like the older ones didn't like 4 as much. And that's the thing, is it's objectionable whether or not you think Resident Evil 4 is really that good. You have to like action games to think Resident Evil 4 is really that good.
I really liked Resident Evil 2.
2 was probably by far the best.
Yeah. 2 was awesome, and what's funny is it was the second version of 2. We don't forget about Resident Evil 1.5. Yeah. Which was almost a full-fledged game.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Question G. When I think of legacy, I think of all the great action and works of men have done in history. And the actions and deeds that are remembered and put in books are then used as multiple choice questions in college and high school history exams.
Yeah.
Then their names and legacies are either forgotten or remembered in time by people that don't want to know in the first place. In 200 years, would you rather be remembered history exam style or forgotten? How do you straighten your woman when she complains that you play too many video games?
Whoa. That is an interesting question.
That's almost like two questions.
That is two questions.
But would I rather be remembered history textbooks wise or forgotten?
I think everybody would rather be remembered.
Yeah.
I guess, but it would suck to be a multiple choice. You know, like I'm letter C.
And they're not chosen.
Yeah. I'm all of the above or something, you know.
I don't really care if we can text.
So basically, I think basically the big part of his thing is that would you rather be like, I don't know, the people who are multiple choice questions are only remembered because they're multiple choice questions.
Yeah.
Like people only learn it because they have to.
You know, I'd rather be remembered by my friends and family. I don't care about the rest of the world.
There you go.
There you go.
It's a solid answer.
That's a solid answer.
That's a beautiful answer.
So how do you straighten your woman out, Wombat, when...
My woman doesn't complain. I mean, she just doesn't. So
there you go. What about you?
I put a controller in her hand and make her play.
There you go. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
I don't get a whole lot of complaints, so I can't complain at all.
Right.
So I'm just, you know.
We have understanding women.
Yes.
Who understand our video game addictions.
That's a good thing.
You have your IV on you. Pop it in. Question H. Is PAX the new E3?
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
Unless E3 goes back to its roots.
See, I would disagree with all of you.
What do you think is the new E3?
It's simply, I think the new E3 is going to be Leipzig. But
yeah.
I think PAX is not because it's not a place for announcements, which is what we associate E3 with.
Well, that's true.
But
you know something? I think we need to go to PAX.
When they...
You got money? You buying?
Shit, if he's buying,
I think at this point, though...
I mean, like next year or maybe the year after.
I think PAX, though, has such a strong following now that it will be a place for announcements in the future.
If it becomes a place for announcements, that'll be awesome.
Because they're going to do an East Coast version of it as well next year, I think.
I love PAX.
In Boston.
Yeah.
I think PAX is awesome. I mean, it's a really great show. It's just Leipzig seems to get more announcements, and like they're building that up bigger to become the new E3 as opposed to PAX, which is more about the gamer, where you just go and play the games.
Yeah.
There's no bullshit, you know, media stream PR blitzes. It's just games, which is awesome.
Right.
Question J, fanboyism. Better today than 2 or 3 years ago? True or false?
False.
I gotta go with false. It's a lot worse now than it was.
Yeah. The thing is, I mean, if you really look at it, it's like people today in the modern world feel the need to categorize themselves and oppose everything that's the opposite. You know, like Xbox 360, you know, fanboys, you know, PS3 fanboys, you know, it's like they invest so much into an object, and then that's like they associate that with who they are as a gamer, and then they oppose everyone else's ideals. The thing is, if you really take a look at the world, it's like it's getting that way in all aspects of life, such as, are you a Mac guy or a PC guy?
I'm a PC.
I'm a PC too. And also, you know,
none of us are hip enough to be Mac guys.
And people are just so frustrated at the opposition. And you can even go deeper. Are you Republican or a Democrat? It's like this year, you know, the election year. Everybody almost wants to just like wrap their hands around the like someone else who's like into the different party members and like strangle them. It seems like as time goes on, people attach themselves and become so much more passionate about who, you know, this external force, you know, they want to attach themselves to an external force and almost use that to levitate their hatred towards their fellow man. And I think that's accelerating and becoming greater as time goes on.
Indeed.
Yeah, there you go.
Question K. Do you guys stay away from each other during the week? And if so, is it for the show?
Yeah, I really don't see you guys much during the week.
Well, that's just because everybody's got like a different schedule.
Right, and time is the big part.
Yeah, we got our own thing going on.
We all got our own thing going on, know what I'm saying?
And all you guys have women.
And I have...
One of us lives 30 minutes away from you all.
Big pimping.
Spending G's. We don't stay away from each other during the week, but we don't see each other a whole lot during the week.
No, the week is for that business thing.
Mostly, yeah, work.
That
work.
Big kid thing.
Yeah.
That big kid thing.
And plus, my schedule at least is crazy because I work some 1 to 10 and some 9 to 6 and some 11 to 8. So.
Which is funny because mine's the most stable schedule. Right. I work the Monday through Friday 9 to 5.
Right.
And I sleep during the day and work through the night.
I sleep and
on
wake
the
up
corner?
Whenever I want to and go to school.
Because you're unemployed.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Indeed. Question. Have fun buying 5 games this month.
Yeah, no, shut up.
Question.
You'll have plenty of time to play them, at least.
Question L. I apologize if this question is posed to the wrong person. It's for the Boogeyman. It wants to know if he could write a sad song when he's happy. I would say he could.
What do you think, Boogeyman?
Indeed.
I heard a yes.
Yeah, I think he can because I've heard some of his like slower, sadder songs, and it's not all from his divorce album.
And, you know, I've never really seen him too upset.
Well,
I mean, minus a couple of things right recently, but I mean, he even took that with good stride.
I think he can because he's got some slow songs on his new album, which he's is in stores now.
He's a happy guy
because he left it there. Question M. I don't know who this 360 price drop is targeted to.
People who don't have 360s.
Someone who hasn't been playing games for 4 years waiting on this price drop? I got one because PS3 had yet to come out with anything for a huge gap of time.
Yeah, it's targeted to the people who don't have a 360 yet.
Yeah, that's
basically.
It's targeted
they're
both
just trying to sell more with that crazy commercial with Rock Band going on in ladies' heads.
Both the
that was a terrible commercial.
It's targeted towards both the people who haven't upgraded yet to the next gen, quote unquote, even
next
though I
gen?
Hate that term.
It's current gen now.
Yeah, I know. That's why I hate next gen, but everybody still calls it next gen. And also towards the people who already have a PS3 and don't have a 360 yet but want to get one for the exclusives.
Yeah.
Exclusives.
And you got to thank Nintendo for bringing a lot of people who weren't gamers into the fold.
Right.
And people who, you know, purchased the Wii in the past couple years, you know, that they might be interested in upgrading to a 360 because of the price drop.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. Question N. I wish Boogeyman was here for this. Does Half-Life actually have a story, or is it an experience divorced from a story like a roller coaster? You know what's funny is I've played through Half-Life several times, and the only thing I can, you know, draw from that story is that you're some geek with glasses fighting head crabs. And there's some aliens running around, and there's a revolt against the government.
It's got a story.
It does, but it's told so like loosely, nonchalantly that you don't even notice it.
Well, it's done. It was sort of the precursor to BioShock, where the whole story is told out through the gameplay.
I know, but BioShock had so many like things that it gave you that were and it, like those audio things,
right?
And there was so much depth to those. Whereas in Half-Life, it's always like your dude never talks,
right?
I think in Half-Life, it is a you're experiencing another world more than an actual narrative. And, you know, it's like a movie. You know, some movies, you know, they want to cram a narrative down your throat with exposition and explaining every aspect of the story to the viewer. But then there's other films that take place in a bizarre environment, bizarre worlds and situations, but they don't explain what's going on. And it's kind of like up to you to rewatch the movie over and over and over again and make your own conclusion as to what the story is. And granted, there could be a concrete story to the Half-Life series, but I think you have to really read into what's going on in order to decipher the story.
You know, now that I come to think of it, the dude in BioShock didn't talk either.
No.
That's crazy.
He didn't say one word the whole time.
He didn't say one word. But there was just felt like there was more depth to what was going on than what's going on in Half-Life. And I don't know why that is.
Well, because of all the cassettes, the audio cassettes that you
Well,
that
and
you
not to mention,
to.
And I'll probably get hacked for this, but I don't care. The environment in BioShock added a lot more to the story than the environment in Half-Life did.
Well, yeah.
So
that's
a given. It's the mixture of the environments and the audio files,
right?
How you can follow characters that you don't even meet in the game. You could kind of like follow their story and their descent into madness,
right?
And that in itself makes the story, but it doesn't fully explain what happened. It just gives you a whole bunch of clues,
right?
And I kind of like that. That's kind of like that's like dynamic storytelling,
right?
If you ask me.
All right, next question is for me.
It's for you.
He says, are you satisfied with graphics of this generation? Are they good enough for you? If they never ratchet up, would you be sad? Yes, I'd be sad. I'd be sad if they didn't get better. But honestly, after seeing games like Uncharted and Gears 2 and even Little Big Planet to an extent, just like the physics and the details, I'm very happy with visuals this generation.
Yeah.
We can do so much on the screen and so many cool effects and things. Well, you know, I expect next generation to look a lot better. I expect the Wii to look like Xbox next generation, but you know, it's
the original Xbox.
The original Xbox. I didn't say 360. Oh snap. The next question.
I don't think you can oh snap yourself.
I don't think
it works that way.
I did. Stop it. Question P. This is funny. I paused Killzone 2 footage and counted 3 colors. Are they planning to put the rest of the colors in later?
No,
probably.
That's sort of the environment.
Was it Bray Ground and Black?
Probably.
There's also Dark Tan for the human characters.
No, that's too many colors.
Yeah, it's 4, man.
That's 4. There's only 3.
They haven't shown us everything about Killzone 2 yet.
I hope there are some big bright
environments. There are some really cool sky colors in that.
Yeah, although they are black and gray, too.
Well, yeah, but there's some... I thought I saw some pink sky in one screen.
I don't know. All I know is it's beautiful,
yeah.
Even if it is only 3 colors.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It is gorgeous.
Question Q. All you guys can do woman voice. What would the podcast sound like if you guys were chicks? You would hear Boogeyman cheering all the time. Yeah, I'm surrounded by women.
I've got women all over me.
I got women all over. If we were chicks, I mean, if we did women voices, this podcast would probably sound like the Mike Tyson forum. Like, hello, this is Champ. This is Champ.
So
I want to tell you about this video
go
game.
On to the
how's
next,
it going? I'm Champ.
Going to go on to the next question now.
Yeah. You sound like Michael Jackson.
I do kind of sound like Michael Jackson.
Let's go to the next question, Tito.
Next question's about the man in the
You ain't going to do one, are you?
No, I'm not.
You dirty bastard.
You chump.
You don't play along.
I don't.
That's why you're the favorite.
Indeed.
Anyway.
He's so aggressive.
Question. Question R: Are you guys going to do a contest for something which requires rhyming?
I don't know. We could though. That's a decent idea.
It is a decent idea.
Yeah.
Some rhyming. I want to rap. I want somebody to freestyle about the podcast.
Yes.
Freestyle.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I got an extra Kratos code.
Oh, you have an extra Kratos?
Little Big Planet. So if you want to do that contest, we will hook that up.
There you go. Killer Wolverine's offering up a free Kratos Sackboy code for anybody who can come up with a freestyle rhyme about the pod kizzle. All right, question S. Will the gaming industry always struggle for recognition and legitimacy? Why does the gaming industry struggle while the fashion industry doesn't? Is it personalities? Does it need larger-than-life personality, like in fashion, the industry, to sell it as relevant?
Who is that?
Because...
I don't know.
That's a beautiful woman.
The gaming industry was pegged a long time ago as being for kids.
Yeah.
And so that's why they still struggle for recognition and legitimacy. No matter how many, moving narratives the game industry plugs out, it's always going to be thought of as a kid's hobby, quote unquote, even though it's starting to gain ground in that now. But that's why you still, anytime you see a commercial or a TV show where people are playing video games, it's just about always sound effects from about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
The adult inside me loves the kid inside me.
Here's an interesting concept. Back in the 1930s and 40s,
Tito,
when Warner Brothers was creating animation, and at the same time, a little bit later after that, like
Hanna-Barbera?
Was doing the Flintstones.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of old-time animation was actually aimed at adults. It was aimed at, grown people back then. And then, throughout the 60s and 70s, it grown to a concept of being for kids. And now, generalization, cartoons are for kids now. So, when it comes to the cartoon industry, it kind of went backwards, So I think that's kind of a interesting concept right there.
I think eventually we'll gain more legitimacy.
Indeed. Boy Elroy.
Yeah.
But it's going to take a while.
All right. Next question. What is the next big title to be delayed?
That is a good question.
Batman Arkham Asylum. It's not going to be 09.
Sure, it will.
It's going to be 09. Would you stop with that?
It's not. It's going to be.
I got one right here. Right here for you. Everybody thinks that God of War is coming out in March.
No,
think it's going to get delayed.
2010.
Yeah.
But now, Batman, no.
There's a chance for that.
I'm telling you right now, you're wrong. Just like I told you were wrong when you said Star Wars is a tech demo. Oh, snap! I snapped myself again.
Hey, you did snap yourself again. You got to stop that, really.
All right. Question U. Is Deathmatch dead? I don't see much popularity or skill in the Deathmatch COD4.
I don't know that it's dead, but it definitely has taken a backseat to co-op and objective-based gameplay.
I don't know. I still see a lot of team deathmatch going on in Halo.
Team deathmatch is awesome.
Yeah.
Team deathmatch in Call of Duty and Halo are huge. And that's why those two are still at the top of most played Xbox Live games.
But in terms of deathmatch overall, just one person against everybody, that's kind of lame nowadays. Yeah.
Everybody likes to be a part of a team.
Right? Yeah.
So there you go. Question V. There are a lot of great games coming out. How do you pick which game you're going to play next? Do you look for a variety, or do you just play the best quality first? Can you play two racing games back-to-back without cheating the experience of the other one? Does a game color palette affect your decision, or perhaps genre?
Interesting.
I just pick and choose, hopefully.
I pick which game I'm most excited about playing.
Yeah.
That's my big thing.
I really don't know. I just, if I have, multiple games I have laying there, I'll just throw them all on the floor, and then I'll put one in, and I'll play it for a little while, and I'll put another one in and play it for a while, and then if one of those games out of the stack turns into some ridiculous thing, then I'll be like,
He's asking games coming out in October.
Mm.
So if you were, jobless, how would you pick the game?
Guitar Hero.
Whichever one I'm most excited about.
Right. Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
Right. And if it's an established genre or a sequel coming out, like Gears, then obviously if I love Gears, I'll be getting Gears of War 2 first and foremost.
In my case, I would probably sell my kidney so I could play both Fallout 3 and Little Big Planet.
I might have to do that.
Shit. You don't need them anyway.
My kidneys? No, not at all.
You don't need your kidneys.
I don't need to live.
Nah.
You could sell both kidneys and buy all five.
And then die.
There you go.
Indubitably.
Just sell one.
And then just go on dialysis for the rest of your life.
That sounds like no fun. And no, color palette doesn't affect which one I buy.
Yeah, I mean, art direction affects some stuff on me because there have been some games that maybe I wouldn't have even looked twice at. But the art direction is so cool that it makes me take a second look at it.
I love these next two questions. Question W. Why don't all companies call their demos betas? Demos get more criticism than betas. This is a damn good question because, you know, half of the betas that have come out lately have been frickin' demos.
Uh-huh,
disguised as the word beta.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good question.
That is a very good question.
Yeah.
Seriously, you should call every demo a beta, and people would be less likely to judge it. Like the Star Wars Force Unleashed demo comes out, and everybody's like, this demo sucks.
Well, see, I don't know. That's the whole point of a beta, is to find the flaws and criticize it so they can fix
it. Yeah,
why release a beta 2 weeks before the game comes out? You're not going to change anything.
I don't know.
That's like, look at Little Big Planet. We're getting it, 2 weeks before the game comes out?
Most of it now anymore is the betas to get you excited for the game, I think.
I think it's just a marketing ploy. Yeah. I do think it is. Like Call of Duty 4, the online multiplayer beta, they changed nothing.
Yeah.
It was just a demo for you to play. That's all
it
was.
To get you to play it early so you can, you know, buy it.
So right. They give you the first hit for free.
Yeah.
And you got to keep coming back for more.
Yeah. Now, the Killzone 2 beta, which is out now, is an actual beta.
Yes.
Because
the way it should be.
Yeah.
Kind of like what Halo 3 was. That was actually a beta because they took all that info and actually used it
in
the game.
And it was, 6 months before the game came out.
So it was the Street Fighter Turbo HD remix.
Yeah, which is still going on, apparently.
Yeah.
The next question. I love this question just because the irony. IGN came out with a new design on their website. On a scale of 7 to 9, what do you think? Because that's all IGN gives out, right? 7 to 9? I love that. That's a great one. On a 7 to 9, I'd have to give it a 7 because I fucking hate it. I do. It's so slow. It's so memory intensive.
It is a step back.
I don't really like it either.
I mean, I think it looks nice, but it just takes up too much memory, and it's too complicated. It's not simple to navigate. IGN was always convoluted anyway because it's just too much shit.
Right.
But this new site, just like...
Not to mention, the search bar is a little tiny thing in the top corner now instead of being right in the front.
Like, every time I go to that site, I hear my PC fan kick in because that's how much memory it's using. I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah.
A little overdone on the flash there, buddy. All right. Question Y. Wombat, did you ever get into a character online? He says if he's playing Call of Duty 4, he likes to deepen and drop old war sayings.
Nice.
Would the announcer guy be appropriate for Bioshock?
I have made stupid impressions and jokes online before. Often the best character, at least on Halo to play,
oh, snap,
is I just stepped on my headset cord in case you were wondering. The best character to play on Halo is to just decide that you're going to be an asshole for the entire round. That's my favorite character to play.
That's like everybody in the game.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and yes, the announcer guy would be very appropriate for Bioshock. He's old-timey enough. Now, would you kindly move on to the next question?
Question Z. Dial Z for zero. Zero, to be a gaming podcast host, what else do you need other than the golden pipes? You need a lot of knowledge of what you're talking about, otherwise you sound like a douche.
There you go. Pretty much.
And you need a great crew.
Which, I mean, we sound like douches anyway.
Well,
so.
Yeah. You need a great crew.
Indeed.
Like we have the best on the web.
You also need testicular fortitude.
Testicular fortitude.
Do I have that?
I believe you do.
Well, don't touch it because it's infected. Anyway.
Wow. With that said, we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah. See you guys later.
Alrighty then.
I'll be leaving now.
Question double A, as in the batteries.
As in Arne Anderson.
What is the N4G of sports podcasting?
I have no idea because I don't listen to sports
podcasts.
I don't
either.
Nor do I.
Yeah. I'll have to go with...
I'm just going
to
go ahead and say ESPN.
ESPN.
Sports
yeah.
Anomaly.
That works too. Whatever.
From one up. Because it's about sports games.
There you go.
There you go.
Snap.
All right, question AB for your blood type. Do you actually care about your character in any game? How can you care for someone who dies and then comes back? I would love the main character to address this right off the bat. I don't care, rather, I live or die as long as I can do X.
Well, the only one I could think of recent memory that I actually cared about is when in Call of Duty 4, when the main guy actually died, and you're like,
oh. Oh, yeah, after the nuclear.
Yeah.
I think.
Other than that, not really.
I don't think I've ever cared about a character. That's why I throw him off cliffs all the time.
You don't really care about story.
I don't really. I don't really have any emotional attachment to any character that I play in any game. But I could say that people might become emotionally attached to a character from an MMO.
Yeah.
Because they spend so much time with a certain character.
Well, too, I think, I was sort of, I wouldn't say I was emotionally connected, but...
if you say too human, I'm going to
No. But the main character in Bioshock, you definitely feel for him.
You know, I think I have to say that I lied, because there are characters in games that I've cared about. In a very emotional scene in Metal Gear Solid 2 is, because you didn't play a Snake through most of the game.
Right, yeah.
When you see the scene where Snake walks out and he runs into Otacon for the first time and they hug.
Right.
That's like one of the most emotional things
in
the game, because I really love those characters. And you know, Snake and Otacon have been together through the whole thing.
Right.
And then like at the end of 4, when things happen and the way Otacon reacts to it, it's just like, those characters I care about, and I guess it's because I have so much invested in Metal Gear.
I would say it's a lot easier in most games.
Otacon.
I'd say it's a lot easier in most games to care about supporting characters than the character you're actually playing.
Yeah, that's a big thing. That's a big thing.
Yeah, that's
true. I wonder if that's going to change with Heavy Rain.
Where you can kill the main character?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter? You can keep playing?
Yeah.
You can keep playing Simon Says?
Wonder if you're going to care.
I don't know. I do get if a game has a really good story, it's easy for me to get invested in a character. Not like emotionally invested where I cry when they die, but invested in their character story and where it's sort of going.
You know, I actually cared for the apprentice in Force Unleashed during one of the pivotal scenes, which I will not talk about. But hey. I did become. I'm starting to become emotionally invested in the apprentice character.
I think it's easier to get connected to a character in third person than it is in first person.
Well, yeah, because you can see them.
Because in first person, you put yourself in the person's shoes, like you're actually there.
Well, the main character in The Force Unleashed is in Smallville.
Oh, snap.
What?
Dun, 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 dun.
Little piece of trivia.
The guy that plays Starkiller is a real person.
Oh, really?
His name's Sam Witwer. He's in Smallville. He's in the new season.
Really?
Yeah. It's the same guy, because when they did the credits, I'm like, it's fucking Starkiller. All right. Next question. AC. DC. He's one of those guys that loved Assassin's Creed. Are we going to get a sequel?
Probably.
Because it sold a shit ton.
And I am also one of those guys who loved Assassin's Creed.
But you didn't beat it.
I didn't beat it. You're right. I still haven't beat it.
And I still have yet to purchase it.
I still own it.
I do, too. I don't think I've ever played it.
I sent it back to Gamefly.
Not a big fan. AD. AD is for ad. I used to run with a small gaming organization named Cloud Chaser, 8 guys to a hotel room during E3. One of their writers made some off-the-cuff remark about Resident Evil movie, not giving it a score. Resident Evil was universally panned, but there are 6 word-out-of-context phrase from this small website was put smack dab on every single newspaper, including the New York Times on the top of the ad for Resident Evil. A new Fast and the Furious movie is coming out. My question, how do you describe a ride on a roller coaster?
Because he wants us to say, and then people will think we're talking about the new Fast and Furious movie, and we'll steal our soundbite. I think it's a thrilling, exhilarating, fast-paced ride.
Scary as shit.
Best Vin Diesel movie ever.
It's like in a world.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Yeah. Rest
the
guy
peace.
Who replaces him sucks.
Well, you're never gonna match.
I know,
that guy.
Sucks.
You just can't. Question AE, which is a television network. You guys are about my age. He's 27. How do you find time to play more than 3 new games a month? I feel spoiled after 2. I was in high school and GoldenEye lasted me the whole summer. There are guys on the threads that are talking about buying 10 games this season. I totally feel where he's coming from, because that used to be the case. Like Mega Man and like all that stuff would last me like
forever,
6 months.
Yeah,
you know. And now it's like I need a new game every week.
Right,
and it's kind of sad.
It's gamers ADD.
We are guilty. We have gamers ADD because we are so much, I guess, enthusiasts of the whole, you know, video game scene, that it's like we have to sample or play like every major thing that comes out, and even every like underground or like me, I like to try out games that, you know, might not even see the light of day, you know, in terms of the mainstream media. I think it makes me a more of a well-rounded gamer in, like, you know, talking about video games, you know, to other people and stuff like that.
Right.
And the first thing I don't want to hear somebody say is because that we play more games now is because they're longer. Bullshit.
Right.
No,
they're the same length. In fact, they're longer than they were. So, yeah.
Exactly.
There you go. It's just that games nowadays, we have too many choices. We have too many options.
Right.
And we're spoiled.
End of story. We are spoiled. Yes.
All right. Question AF. When are we going to get a video cast? When we get a video camera. Do you like that answer? AG. Arguing. This is for the entire crew. What is worth arguing over with someone online? For me, it's everything. Everything but who someone is. Either you are X or you are not X. That does not change the argument.
My biggest argument is over fanboyism.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You go nuts.
Oh, you do go nuts.
I fucking hate it.
On the fanboys.
Yeah,
they deserve it.
I read that post you did on the forum a couple days ago.
You
were pissed off.
I tell you, they pissed me off something fierce.
I only argue about things that I'm passionate about. So,
But nowadays, every little thing people are passionate about,
yeah.
You know, it's like...
But I don't argue about a whole lot of stuff online, just when people have closed minds on certain things.
Fanboys.
Refuse to see the truth.
Fanboys.
Right. Not just for consoles, though, for games.
I enjoy a good fight, so anything I argue over,
right.
Anyway.
It's like I go to a website called ain'titcool.com. It's a movie geek website. And, dude, it's the same thing there. It's like if there's news about new Transformers, like Transformers 2, it'll people be like...
Electric Boogaloo?
It'd be like people saying, Michael Bay, go to hell. Michael Bay, you ruined my childhood. And then there'll be a post where it's
Michael
like,
Bay didn't ruin my childhood. Transformers are still there.
Yeah, and people saying the Transformer movie was cool, and people saying no, it was crap, and then you read like another article about like a new episode of Smallville, and it's like half the people hate it, half the people love it, and they start cursing out each other.
But you know what? At least they watch it.
Yeah,
true.
Oh snap! That was a stab. And
yes, it was a stab.
Sweet. All right.
Obviously not you, but
next question. Yeah. Is question Joysticks News on the March sounds very familiar, but I can't put my finger on it. Is it flattering to know how much influence you have on other podcasts?
I've never actually heard that.
News on the March. Hmm.
I guess they stole a little thing from us, huh?
Oh, snap.
We'll have to listen to it.
We're not bitter.
I'm going to have to download
it.
We borrow.
It's actually pretty flattering.
Yeah, we borrow, so it's okay.
Yeah,
people borrow from us.
We borrow.
We're glad we can inspire.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
We're all about making the industry a better place to live.
Indeed.
And game. Argue. And read questions.
Question artificial intelligence.
Oh, that was a terrible movie. I'm sorry. Anytime I hear AI, terrible movie.
When do you team kill? I never team killed until I was in bad company. My teammates hung back too far.
Hmm. The only time I've ever team killed is when somebody team killed me first.
Yeah.
And then I team kill them back and kick them.
That and by accident.
And then I usually get booted.
Yeah, I've team killed people by accident a lot of times.
Yeah. That's usually when I team
kill. I did that the first time I played SOCOM. I saw the bushes moving. And I started shooting the guy, and I'm like, fuck, he's on my team. Whoops.
Whoops.
And then he didn't respawn in until the second match started.
Yeah.
And he was probably pretty pissed at you.
All right. The question, Allie and AJ.
What?
Where in the
Oh, you remember that DS game you saw?
Yeah, that DS game I saw, Allie and AJ. There you go.
Wow.
Is Fallout 3 and Resistance 2 good enough to depress the youth vote?
What? No. I see what you're saying, but no. People will still go out and vote.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe.
This one's good.
People, let me put it this way. People will not vote for the same reason they have not voted for, you know, 20 years.
Yeah.
Question AK-47. What is a success this generation? Oh, I'm sorry. Question AK-47.
Learn to read, dick.
Are anti-fanboy rants beginning to sound a lot like fanboy rants?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Just like independence. I'm an independent, you know. That's the new anti-fanboy in terms of the of like
I'm
political
Ross
Perot.
I can't deal with a hammer unless you can see it, taste it, touch it, and pass it to the lower intestines.
See, that was good.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
I've been working on that for like 12 weeks.
Yeah, the anti-fanboy is kind of like the third party.
Where do you see my campaign?
My campaign! Indeed. Vote for me!
I'm a fanboy for anti-fanboy.
Shallow and pedantic. Indeed. Question Alabama. What is a success this generation? Can you have 3 successes? You can have a million. That's what I say. Have all the success in the world.
I think you could have 3 successes, and think that the boys over at Insomniac are probably going to prove that this generation.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Good times. AMFM radio question. 0. You are the Don Draper of Sony marketing staff. What do you do with home to the unwashed? What do I do with home? I cancel it.
Ooh.
Oh.
Because, you know, nobody cares.
I'd say a lot of people still care.
A lot of people think they care until they get a hold of it. And it turns into a dancing sausage fest.
You want to know what I think of home?
that I attribute that to Kat.
You want to know what the con thinks of home?
It's a con's wiener fest?
It's a loading screen that you actually walk in.
Wow.
You know, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, it really kind of is. All right, question AN. I have nothing for AN. Wombat.
I do, but it's not appropriate.
Yeah, don't say that.
I'm not.
Wombat, you bugged Zero's office.
Woohoo!
How do you and the Microsoft marketing camp counteraction Zero's holiday strategy?
I take whatever they were going to do, and I do it first.
And you do it better.
That way, they have one of two options. They either cancel all the work that they've been doing on whatever they're working on, or they look like copycats.
Nice.
Mwahaha.
Your plan has come full circle.
You can't see it, but I'm tapping my fingers together right now.
Question AO. Killer Wolverine.
Adults only.
Would you like, there you go. Would you like to redo that list of top 8 quarterbacks to watch out for? Seeing that Miami beating Indy, you can pretty much throw all of last season. Maybe add a quarterback or two. Maybe Cutler. Maybe Garrard. If he gets some receivers open?
You know, yeah, there's a lot of surprising this year.
Yeah, I think Brady comes off now. I think Anderson comes off now.
Yeah. Chad Pennington, actually, and he mentioned that, and Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler and David Garrard.
Very, very good examples of how surprising this year really is and will be. So, yeah, I mean, you can throw Chad Pennington on there for some reason, I'm sure. Well, he only did, what, one game, though? Blowing out the Patriots. He's still yet to
But that was Ronnie Brown that did that with all those crazy running plays.
Oh, well, that's true. So, yeah, so I don't know about Miami. But, you know, if good old Garrard there, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I'll have to go back and reevaluate, but, eh.
All right, question AP. When you see Alan Wake, what do you see? No one actually seen anything resembling gameplay.
That is true.
I don't know what I see when I see Alan Wake. All I see is the fact that Remedy's name's attached to it, and that excites me.
Right.
But I'm confused as to exactly what kind of game it's really going to try to be. I don't know yet. And that's what's funny.
I'm confused as to why it's going to not come out for the next 6 years.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I hope it comes out. Yeah. Interesting.
Well, it will come out. It's just a question of when.
And by then, would anyone care?
Right.
And what kind of game will it actually be when it comes out?
Next question, AQ. Gambus, who should die in Heroes?
Who should die in Heroes? Well, I actually have not seen Season 2. I've only seen all of Season 1. And to tell you the truth, I actually like all the characters in Season 1, so I wouldn't want to see any of them die. But from what I hear from people talking about Season 2, there's a few undesirable characters that pop up in Season 2. So I guess that would be my answer. I mean, you definitely could not kill off a hero, Japanese.
I think you killed Peter's brother.
Peter's brother?
I don't like him.
Peter Petrelli?
Yeah, his brother. I don't like him. Of course, I've only seen part of Season 2.
He's kind of he's one of those guys who he's nice one minute, and then he's a complete douchebag the next minute.
Yeah.
So
I don't like him.
Okay, from the Season 1 cast, yeah, you could kill him off.
All right, now we did it. We finished the epic one. Here it comes, the last question.
All righty.
Where do you people get off bogarting your time with a bunch of questions? Hey, this is your show. This is Zero's show. This is Wombat's show. This is Gambus's show. This is Killer Wolverine's show.
He actually used my real name, though.
He actually used your real name. And this is Announcer Guy's show.
Yeah.
Take out an ad in the New York Times, N-Guy. Stop filibustering, Mr. Smith. Pay for your own stupid camp. You are going on and on and on and on and stop. He will be back next week with 40 more questions. Just kidding. But the correct answer is true. I don't know. That was fun.
And people get off bogarting our time because we ask them to. Because we're not creative enough to fill an entire 2-hour podcast.
Unless you're on PSN, then you're like, no!
I have to say, John Smackrow is probably the best barrage of questions that I think we've ever answered in one episode.
That was indeed
some of the best questions.
I mean,
that was fun.
That was fun. I enjoyed that.
I would almost say, you know, give us another barrage of questions. Because he asks such in-depth questions.
Give us a couple weeks to clear out everybody else.
I would
first.
Say, you know, if you want to do that once a month.
Yeah, once a month. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Indeed. But that wraps up the show this week. So that's good times.
Yeah.
I did get a hold of the contest winner.
Sweet. Nice.
His name has been filed off to the prize department. So you should be getting your stuff hopefully soon. Also, actually, I don't think we have anything.
Do we
want to
do that contest he mentioned? I mean,
right ahead. I said, get on the forums and create a freestyle rap about the N4G podcast, and you could win a free code for Kratos Sackboy from Mr. Killer Wolverine.
Do you want him to?
He's like, giving it up, man.
Send an audio file with him rapping it,
dude. Yes, that's it.
That is it, right there.
You gotta send an audio
that
file.
That is perfect.
And we're gonna put it in the outtakes.
We're
going to put it on the show. If you send us an MP3 format of you freestyle rapping about the podcast, dude, you will win. The winner is you.
And
you're
going
to get a Kratos Sackboy.
Try to open this up to 360 owners, too. I'll try to get some prize for the 360.
Try and dig something else up, too.
Yeah, but definitely, this contest is open for anybody. The Kratos Sackboy code is for the PS3 owners. We'll try to find something for 360 owners. Wii owners, you don't listen anyway. Too busy playing Wii Fit. But I think that's it. I think that wraps up our show. So, Mr. Khan, if you would be so kind to get us out of here.
Moonlight seems fake by NASA. The murder of Princess Di. The government was behind 9/11. Scientology's the new crime. It was created by man. The media's run by Jews. Paul McCartney is dead. What are lies and what's the truth? Conspiracy theory.
Welcome to the podcast of Crazy Sounds. I'll be your host, Monkey.
Anakin, join the dark side.
Yeah, don't do that on the show. Did you listen to last week's show, by the way?
No.
When you did that thing when I said, oh God, don't do that again?
Oh yeah, I remember
oh,
that.
Oh my God.
Was it really loud?
It was really loud. It was like you took it off, you're like... I'm like,
that makes you sound kind of like a robot.
I know. I was like,
welcome to my house.
You sound like that dude from Star Wars.
That's awesome.
Riddle me.
Riddle me this.
Batman.